Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So here we are again. It's time for another On The Record. And due to popular demand, we've been doing some of the little features that we used to do elsewhere. We've done Ask Porky a few times. We've done Porky Vision a couple of times. People have said we should do a quiz. I'm not sure a quiz would work.
Yeah, I think we will.
You think we'll do a quiz?
Yeah, I think we'll do a quiz. I've actually, believe it or not, got a...
Do you know what I could do?
I've got a box of trivia questions, because that's what we should do.
Yeah, but people don't like the trivia questions. Yeah, they prefer the gerrymandered version.
Well,
anyway,
you know,
what I could do, though, we could set up a scenario whereby we could have sound effects, because it's better with sound effects when you get it right or wrong.
Yes, okay.
I could sort that out.
Yes.
You know, I could, for example, put one, you know, on my phone.
Yeah.
You know, for example, I'll try not to drop it.
Somebody
keeps ringing me, by the way.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that's phones are for, mate.
No, but I think it's... No, but the phones are for answering calls from people that you want to speak to, right?
Right, okay.
They're not necessarily for answering calls from people that you don't know.
Okay.
So, basically, whoever you are that's ringing me and I'm not answering...
Yeah.
Don't keep ringing me.
So what are we doing today? We're going to do Porky Vision.
Today we're going to do Porky Vision.
Excellent. Good.
Because we haven't done one for a while. So we will do a Porky quiz in the future. And we should also do, some people have asked if we could ever do sort of a listography as well.
Yeah, we'll do a listography.
What do you think of that?
Yeah, yeah, I'm up for that as well, okay?
Yeah.
Right, now then, let me tell you.
So you could do that, couldn't you?
What?
If you got one right.
Oh, let me see that again. Oh, I see. That's pretty good. That's a sound effect.
If you get one wrong...
Oh, there you go.
So we could do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, fine.
Now, Porky, I know you're not a vegetarian, right? But if you were a vegetarian, you could order a rapid box of HelloFresh food, delicious...
Wow.
Food delivered to your door, right?
Yeah.
You could get kid-approved family recipes. You could get a classic box of gluten-free, dairy-free, flexitarian, or just basically straight meat and potatoes.
Have you mentioned the Rapid Box yet?
The Rapid Box.
Rapid Box. The
Rapido Box as well. This is all from HelloFresh, right?
Yeah.
HelloFresh will provide you with not only the recipe for what you want to make, but all the ingredients that you need to make a delicious meal.
Yeah.
All you're going to do is find the HelloFresh website, and of course, you'll get 50% off your first two boxes using this code. It is number two.
Number two, that's
number
great.
Number two.
I want to tell you about the Rapid Box.
I love it.
Deliciously simple recipes on the table in just 20 minutes. If time is your enemy, the Rapid Box is your dinner time hero.
It is. Never mind whatever it is you want to have for dinner. Forget about all the arguments you've had with the kids, all the arguments you had with your other half.
Yeah.
Just get the recipes. They're kid approved. They're created with busy parents in mind. Take the hassle out of meal planning, prep and cooking. You can have stress-free dinner.
And let me tell you this as well. You can enjoy a very flexible subscription to this wonderful service. You can skip, pause or cancel your subscription at any time. And all of the ingredients we send you are pre-measured. So there's absolutely zero food waste. We're saving the world as well as saving your taste buds.
Absolutely right. Try HelloFresh. Get 50% off your first two boxes. Use the promo code. It's number two. And it's all shared, of course, by Audioboom.
Right. Now, let me tell you, right... a few days ago, McMafia finished, okay?
He did, thank God for that. What a load of rubbish that
I want to say, no, it wasn't, it was brilliant.
It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. Now, I want to say to everybody
that
I'm sorry if you've still got it on your Sky, what's it called, record or something.
Well, I don't know, you've got the Sky box.
Yeah, what's it called? Sky, you know, when you record it, watch it later.
Yeah,
Sky,
I don't know.
Your Sky,
box, isn't it?
Save, or Sky box, or something like that. But I'm afraid, if you haven't seen it by now, I'm going to tell you what's happened. It was brilliant.
Well, it's been on, you know, you could have watched it for a while.
Yes, it was a brilliant ending. And let me tell you this.
Yeah.
It was, in the end, a great moral story.
Was it?
About good overtaking evil.
How was it that?
Well, because what happened at the end
was... I thought everybody was meant to be evil.
No, you don't understand. You don't understand. You see, what happened was at the end was...
Well, his girlfriend got shot, right?
Yeah, but she survived. Yeah. Unfortunately, their baby didn't.
Well, don't give it all away.
No, I'm giving it all away. Now, what happens is...
He didn't know she was pregnant either, did she?
He didn't know she was pregnant. So now, and the guy we're talking about here is the man who might be the next James Bond, okay?
James Norton.
James Norton, who played... who did he play? Was it Adam?
I don't know what his name
was. Just trying to think. Wait a minute.
McMafia,
yes. Here we go. Alex Goodman.
Okay.
So he plays Alex Goodman, right?
It's not a very Russian name, by the way, Goodman, is it?
Well, he's English. Why
is he English if his dad's Russian? Because his dad played a big part in it. His dad was permanently pissed.
It's a Russian family. Yeah, his dad was permanently pissed, walking around with a water bottle full of vodka.
Right.
Right, so most people are permanently pissed in this show, right, okay?
It seems that way.
A lot of them.
Yeah. And you were permanently pissed watching it, presumably.
I must have been, because I understood it. So, and it's very hard to understand halfway through.
Yes.
Now, what happens is, at the end, Alex Goodman flies to Russia.
Yeah.
To try and do a deal.
Yeah.
He's been funneling money into weird accounts. You know, he's been laundering money.
Well, he was in cahoots, was he not, with the Jewish guy in the Middle East?
That's right.
Who was a bit of a dodgy character.
And do you know which show he was last in? He was in the...
he was in the Bourne Identity.
The Bourne Identity.
I told you that last time.
He was the head of the CIA
in
the Bourne Identity.
That's exactly right.
Get me that phone.
Yeah
and all that kind of
that's
stuff,
the
right?
Guy.
Now,
I need eyes. Give me eyes.
I need eyes, yeah. So what happened was Alex decided to... Destroy
Alex
Goodman,
okay,
played by Norton.
Norton
to destroy
the
Russian mafia.
Uh-huh.
Right,
but he can't do that.
Well,
can he?
You see, this is so.
But you
clever.
See, my problem with the show is it was too far fetched.
No, it wasn't.
A lot of old
Bloxios. It wasn't.
It was ridiculous.
No, what happened was he went over there. He did a deal with the government and said, "Look, what I could do for you is, if you turn a blind eye to the drug dealing going on in your country, you can almost legalize it and make it." Crime-free and victim-free.
What you mean if you legalise the drug business?
Yes.
Right.
No,
okay.
You don't legalise. You turn a blind eye to it.
Oh, I see.
Turn a blind eye to it. Now, at the moment, it's been run by the mafia.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll wipe out the mafia. So, single-handedly, wiped out the mafia.
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
He did. He ended up at the end shooting the mafia boss with his own handgun.
Really?
Right.
I thought you'd seen it. I did see it, but I don't remember that. I remember the guy, the mafia
boss. You idiot. Don't you remember him going to the safe house?
No.
And the safe house, the mafia chief thought his corrupt police contact was coming in.
Yeah.
Because the mafia chiefs ran the government.
Are you talking
ran
about the guy that was shot in the stomach, though?
Yes.
He was shot in the stomach.
Yes.
Right. Because they... And then they killed his daughter, didn't they?
They killed his daughter first.
He didn't know she was dead yet.
Right. Alex's father...
Yeah.
...sent a message to Moscow.
Yeah.
Send a hitman to kill mafia chief.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
So instead
because
of,
the mafia chief had already said to Alex...
Yeah.
He'd said such a. He'd given him a message for his father.
That's right.
Which then translated basically meant, we're going to kill you.
That's right, exactly.
Right?
So he killed him first.
Yeah.
But instead of killing the mafia chief, they shot his daughter at a party in a big house. There's lots of big houses in Russia.
Well,
okay?
It looked like they were at a museum, actually.
Well, it was there are lots of big houses in Russia.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've been to a few.
Have you been to a few?
I've also been to a Russian Orthodox church.
Have you?
So I was very taken by the.
Is that when they wear the very high sort of high hats?
And they, you know, they swing that silver pot around that you know all about.
The thurible.
You know? What's it? The thurible. Yeah, with all the smoke coming out.
It's got incense.
Yeah, incense. That's right. Absolutely right. And so I was quite taken by the graveyard scenes. You know, when the daughter was being buried and all that.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But yeah. But then,
the trouble is, I watch these shows quite late on into the night
when you're completely.
By which time I've had a few glasses of wine.
And about four bottles, I would say.
I wouldn't say that.
Something like that.
Not that many. But the trouble is, obviously, difficult to remember all the details.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, what happens is... I'm just thinking now.
Are they making another series, by the way?
Well, I don't know about that. But Alex, in the end...
I hope they don't.
...says, I'll take him out myself and goes and kills him. Everybody thinks that he won't.
But he's clutching his stomach still, isn't he? He hasn't had that fixed.
No, he's been shot in the side. What happened was, at his daughter's funeral.
No, I know that, but what I'm saying is when the other guy goes to kill him, he still hasn't had that sorted.
See, I thought I was poor, because I thought he was clutching his stomach and it was under his coat, and I thought, well, he must be hiding a gun there to whip out and kill Alex, you know? But the gun was lying on the bed, but I thought, that's a trap, because that's a second gun, you know what I mean? Mm. But anyway, the point I was going to make is, if you've just listened...
All right.
...is that...
I'm going to pour some water for myself.
Alex did a deal with the government, and the government then... sent hitmen all over the place to rub out the mafia.
Okay.
So they decided they don't need him anymore, okay? They
so
do it themselves.
Like that scene in The Godfather where everybody
it's
gets
very
killed.
Much like that. Remember the scene in The Godfather? The guy looked up from the sunbed and the bullet went through his glasses, you know?
Mulgrain. He was the guy that discovered Las Vegas.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Oh,
was he? That's the one, that was the guy that was shot in the eye.
I thought that was, what was it called? The film that, you know, the Gracious Lothario in, no, Gracious Lothario in LA was Warren Beatty.
Yes.
And he was in a film called Bugsy. And Bugsy was all about the man who found Las Vegas.
Well, that was about Mo Green then.
Mo Green,
as far as The Godfather is concerned, and I'm pretty sure they're accurate on this.
Yeah.
He was the guy that kind of set up known as a stopover for GIs.
That's right.
On their way to the West Coast.
That's right.
He turned it into a gambling paradise.
Gambling paradise, yeah. So anyway, what happens in the Moscow one is he does a deal with the Russian government.
Yeah.
They get 150 billion a year. As a result of allowing the drugs trade to pass through their country to
150
Europe.
Billion?
150 billion.
Bloody hell.
150 billion a year, which is quite a substantial sum of money.
It is, rather.
So that is the hidden agenda.
Uh-huh.
But they have to take out the mafia, who are the competition, to the legal one. So James Norton organises all that. Alex.
But isn't there more than one mafia, though? Because the guy, for example, the guy who he ends up killing.
Yes.
Right. Who, of course, was the same guy that in the earlier episode beat the police chief to death.
That's right.
With a sort of, you know, metal pipe.
Yeah, because
which is a particularly brutal scene.
That's right, because he let somebody go, didn't he? He missed somebody.
Yeah, I don't think it was just that. It was just that he was disrupting their business.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
And he wanted to know who was under whose orders doing it.
And now, he got a pipe and said, who is it? And then he told him and he thought, let him go, and he beat him to death.
But that's what I'm saying.
That's a bit harsh.
Wasn't he then his enemy, if you like? You know, was also a member of the mafia, but a different clan.
Yes, but the trouble is, if you're in that world, you ain't got no friends. You know what I mean?
No.
Everyone's your enemy.
Well, that's what somebody says in the show, isn't it?
What?
That if you choose this business,
yes,
you know, you must not ever accept that you will have family, you will never have a girlfriend.
You are alone.
You're alone.
You're alone. That's
in
right.
In fact,
yeah.
It was the mafia guy that said it.
That's right. But anyway,
see, I remember quite a lot of it.
Last episode was the best episode, but I think it was particularly brutal that the mafia chief's daughter's funeral.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know what happened to me with two men on a motorbike, right?
Well, we're going to talk
the
about
carjacking,
we're
the mugging.
We're going to talk about the so-called carjacking.
Talk about that maybe.
Because
later.
As time goes on, more and more people are having less and less faith.
No, it was a terrifying experience.
I was terrifying.
Terrifying. But let me tell you.
You told me that you fought them off because you didn't give a shit about the fact that they were going to try and kill you.
Yeah, but that was adrenaline coursing through my veins at the time.
Well,
looking back on it, I realised how brave I was.
Really?
And how, you know, how I put myself in terrible peril.
How did you manage not to get any kind of cuts at all, of any kind?
I ducked and weaved.
Really?
It was as simple as
that, you were on the ground.
I did. I went down on the ground. I took to the ground.
Oh, you said they knocked you to the ground.
They knocked me to the ground, yeah.
And I had so when you were on the ground, you ducked and weaved.
Yeah, I had to have my coat cleaned because it had all like
you
sort
said
of dust
that
and
as
powder
well,
on it.
But
yeah.
on the Saturday when you came in, you said, I'm still wearing the same coat.
No, I wasn't.
When I asked you on the Sunday, you said, no, it wasn't the same coat.
No, it wasn't the same coat.
It was different.
And I've taken it away. Right, okay.
Mm.
So I'm going to tell you a bit more about that in a second.
Yeah, okay. We'll come back to that.
Okay.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
So, have you finished with McMafia now? Or do you need to tell
more? No. I'm going to tell you. So my blood froze when I saw the scene outside the churchyard where the mafia boss's daughter had been buried.
See, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, yeah. And a motorbike pulls up next to the Mercedes with two men on it.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, I get a panic attack. I think, oh, the carjackers are back. You know, the evil carjackers who tried to take my Mercedes car. And believe it or not, it was a Mercedes car they were getting into.
Yeah, no,
so
I don't believe it.
This brought all...
Was it the same crap colour that yours was?
No, it was black.
Oh,
they're
black.
All black in Moscow.
Yeah.
This brought all the terror back to me. You know
really?
What I mean?
Yeah.
And
you should probably go and see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, well,
not,
yeah.
But not just for that
but
reason.
But guess what? He just slowed down.
Yeah.
Guy on the back, just raised arm, bang, 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 popped off, four bullets, killed two of them.
Uh-huh.
Then they.
Why didn't they have a bulletproof Mercedes?
They weren't in the Mercedes, they were getting into it.
Oh, they were getting into it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then in another scene, a car pulled up.
So who's been killed now?
Two of the mafia boss's henchmen who were protecting him at the funeral.
Mm.
They then get to the mafia boss's car and they just open up with a volley of fire from another, you know.
Why hasn't he got a bulletproof car?
He's not in it yet.
No, right.
But guess what? He falls on the ground, pretends to be dead, crawls into the car, and without even looking where the windscreen is, puts his foot on the accelerator and speeds away.
Blimey.
Right? And he got away.
Well, how's he get away if he's not seeing where he's going?
Instinct, I think. Instinct.
Instinct. See, that's the trouble. It's a load of rubbish.
No, but
no, the whole show, the whole bloody series was riddled with what I regard as continuity mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, ridiculous plots, but things that could never, ever have happened.
Do you know what? Do you know what?
What?
I agree with one bit here. When Norton, i.e. Alex Goodman, is flying to Moscow on this mission to sort everything out, at the airport when he lands... They say, I'm sorry, you are an undesirable alien.
Yeah.
Like they do in America sometimes when we go there.
So
except
the
not
Brits
to me, obviously.
No.
You know.
Well, that's it to you, no.
I was amazed they let me off a plane to Chicago once. I was so drunk after, seriously, so pissed after, you know, an eight-hour flight from London in business
class.
Well,
we were in pretty poor shape when we got back to London after our trip to New York last year.
Yeah, we were, that's absolutely right.
Yeah.
So
we weren't too bad getting there, actually.
No, we weren't too bad getting there.
Apart from that guy who told you to fuck off.
Yeah, go fuck off, go fuck yourself. You know, you've got a megaphone, you can talk any louder. But it's very exciting for our colleagues there who don't always fly business class.
It
We've got
was
them
very
into
exciting for them,
business class,
Well, it's very exciting for me. I don't fly business class. Well, I can't afford to take my family business class.
Yeah, sure, sure.
You know.
So anyway, so what happens is it all looks like it's above board.
Yeah.
And he's just told, I'm sorry, you're on the undesirable aliens list and we can't let you in.
But he's British, though.
He's British, yeah.
So they can't do that.
Well, they can. If any country can refuse to let you in if they don't want to.
That's rubbish. If you are a British passport holder, British citizen, they cannot refuse your entry. They can let you in and then arrest
you. No, this is Moscow. This is in Moscow.
Oh, Moscow.
Moscow.
You didn't make
that
very clear.
Yeah, well, you should have listened instead of
spat. You told me he was at the airport.
He's flying into Moscow. He's got off the plane in Moscow, all right?
Well, you didn't make that very clear.
Off the plane in Moscow.
Okay, all right.
So, and they say, you know, come in, and he says, right. So they actually put him in custody.
Yeah. Are we going to Moscow for the World Cup?
Well, listen, I tell you, the problem is, in the last week, there's been a plane crash in Russia.
I saw that.
Now, the problem is...
Now, I didn't recognise the name of the airline, but it wasn't a very old plane. It was only 7 years old.
I don't care. Do you know what they do in Russia?
What do you mean?
Well, they have problems servicing their aircraft because it costs money to service aircraft.
Right.
Right? Now, I'm not making an allegation against the Russians.
No.
I like Russia. It's a good country. They're good people.
Really?
The traffic jams in Moscow are horrendous.
Really?
Absolutely horrendous.
Right. Also, England are going to be playing in some god-awful sort of backwater, aren't they?
Well, funny enough, I saw our colleague, who I won't name, the other day, but he talks like this, you know. It's like this. So.
And I said, Russian guy?
No, this is a Scottish guy. And I said, so...
Well, you have to narrow that down.
So you're going to Russia.
Yeah.
He says... You must be fucking joking. And I said, right, I'll tell you that as a no then.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, the city where England are playing.
Yeah.
I said, can you guarantee me hot water through my taps in the shower? And they couldn't, so I'm not going.
So, I realised hot water was a prerequisite.
Well, it is, isn't it?
You know, I suppose so.
But that's an indication of how civilised it is.
It'll be very hot there in the summer, won't it?
Very hot. Very
so you wouldn't really want to go?
I wouldn't really want to go.
You know what we should do?
What?
Is we should maybe fly in and out and do a quick sort of double hit.
Could do.
Do something, you know, a couple of shows in their podcast or something.
Yes, yes.
Do that.
That's always a possibility.
I mean,
problem
we could
is,
even do a live show there.
Problem is that these people who are grasping will put up the cost of airfares to Moscow throughout the whole of the World Cup.
What if we were to go and do a live show for the football fans?
Yeah, we could do that.
What do you think of that?
Not averse to that.
Okay.
Anyway, getting back
to... Are we still doing fucking McMafia? Haven't
you
finished
it? No.
Christ
almighty. So what I was going to say is...
Right.
The thing is, if the... So the police are very corrupt, and so are the airport officials.
Yes.
So they say... So they put him in custody in a detention centre for 24 hours.
Right.
And they say, we're releasing you now, but we are taking you back to the airport and you're flying back to Britain.
Right.
He said, I want to see the High Commission. I want to see a lawyer. And no, you we're taking you back to the airport.
Yeah, welcome to Russia.
Yeah, so
you
they put him in a police car, and they take him at night in the direction of the airport, and then they pull off the road.
Oh, dear.
And he says... He's quite clever. He says, why have we stopped here?
Yeah.
And they said, we're ahead of schedule and we have people meeting at the airport to put you on the plane who have not arrived yet.
Yes.
So then he said, could I have a cigarette, please? Mm. So this is a clever way to get out of the car.
Yeah.
And one guy in the car says, you can smoke it in the car. And the driver says, no, I'm not really smoking in my car.
But doesn't that show you how ridiculous the show is?
Well, I'm about to say, hang on, I'm about to say this to you. So he then said, I'm sorry, do you know the word lighter? I don't speak Russian.
Right.
But he does speak Russian.
Yeah.
And then when they think he doesn't speak Russian, they say, how fucking long are these guys going to be? We can't hold them here forever.
Yeah, yeah.
So he realises that they're waiting for assassins
waiting
to come
for somebody
and kill
else, yeah.
So he steps out the car, and then, this is the best thing about it, absolutely right, he then runs off. So the Russian mafia, who are coming to kill him, will be quite upset about the, with the police when they've just paid to detain him.
Particularly since the, you know, these are the guys that are supposed to be killing someone.
That's right.
But you can't smoke in the car.
That's right.
What the fucking difference does it make if you're going to kill them?
Yeah,
let
exactly.
them smoke in the car.
Yeah, well, he didn't want his car polluted, the air in the car.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's why it's ridiculous.
Yeah. But anyway, he, you know, despite the fact they're supposed to be, you know, like midway between the city and the air.
So they don't bother running after him.
Yeah, they do, but he finds a metro station. He goes down. I mean,
I remember that. Yeah,
yeah, he goes down the metro station. But the thing is, as I've learned to my cost, if you're being chased, the last place you go is down into a metro station because what's down goes down has to come up again.
Well, no, if you get on, you get on a train and disappear. Then.
Well, you know,
when were you last chased down a metro station?
I think with some football hooligans,
really,
who were chasing me. Yeah.
When
I was an Everton fan, I was about 14 or 15.
All right.
Yes,
well, that's a long
right.
time ago. So it's not like they recognise you from Talk Sport. Well,
no,
Porky Perrin. It's
no.
shit out
No, I had a blue and white scarf on. And I think we were playing like West Ham or something. Yeah. You know what I mean? Something like that, yeah. Anyway.
So where did you go? Did you go running down into the tube?
No, I ran past the tube.
Uh-huh.
But they thought I'd gone down the tube. I was clever.
See.
I hid in behind a bin on the other side of the road.
Hell, very fortunate for you.
Yes, exactly, yeah. So anyway, so he runs off and then he somehow survives. You know, it's all a bit ridiculous, really.
Well, it is all a bit ridiculous.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I mean, he can't... if they give him the James Bond role, it will be the biggest mistake ever in the history of television.
Well, you see, that's a bit unfair because...
Movies. He has no... ability to act. He has no facial expression.
They said he was too wooden.
He is wooden, though.
Yeah,
I mean, every
but,
time
yeah, but hang on.
He's
hang
just
on.
Got that kind of stupid stare.
Hang on. I saw this guy in Happy Valley, which was the one done in Halifax with Sarah
also,
Lancashire.
There was no shagging in it, either.
No shagging in what?
In McMafia.
No, I would have preferred a bit more shagging.
Yeah.
I'd have preferred to have seen some of these Russian oligarchs having sex with three women at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, in
it's good enough for Versailles.
Yeah, in a penthouse.
I mean, this is more likely to have been the case, isn't it?
Yeah.
McMafia.
Yeah,
I mean,
think
you know,
so,
it's all about sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Well, it should be. If you've got that much money.
You know, it's not about just standing staring at each other.
No, that's right,
which is what James Norton seems to spend most of his time doing.
Yeah, he did, actually, the gentle Englishman.
They had the kind of the Richard Gere... acting range, which is basically two expressions.
Everybody's comparing it to Godfather 2, where Michael Corleone goes from being, you know, the well-educated son who was going to get out of the business into the boss of the American mafia.
Actually, that's more like Godfather 1, isn't it? Because Godfather 1 is where you first meet him in his army uniform with Kay.
Yes.
And she goes, who is that man over there, Michael? He's talking to himself. And, of course, it's Luca Brasi.
Yes.
Who made the film director an offer he couldn't refuse.
Oh, yeah, is that right?
Well, to get the singer to sign on the dotted line, which is meant to be the Frank Sinatra story about From Here to Eternity. You know all that, right?
Yeah.
Do you not know all that?
No.
Do you know From Here to Eternity, the film?
Yeah, Frank...
with Burt Lancaster, right?
He won an Oscar.
Deborah Carr, I think, was in it, and Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And that was the movie that made him, right?
Made who?
Frank Sinatra.
No, the movie that made Frank Sinatra was the one where Paul Newman's in jail. Cool House Luke.
Cool House Luke.
Cool Hand Luke. Cool Hand Luke.
Frank Sinatra wasn't fucking in that.
He was. He won an Oscar. He was.
No.
He won an Oscar.
No, he didn't.
He was
in From Here to Eternity,
right?
And the story goes that the horse's
head... Did he win an Oscar for that?
I think he might have done,
yeah. I think he did,
the horse's head story
is
all about, supposedly, the director of From Here to Eternity, who wasn't going to cast him until he got the horse's head in his bed.
Oh.
And the mafia put the horse's head in his bed, and then he cast Frank Sinatra, and the rest is history.
Wow.
And that's
that actually happened, the horse's head in the bed?
Yeah.
Golly.
Yeah, they made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
I'm going to make you an offer you can't refuse.
You don't have to sing.
Going
to
put the world up you. Or something like that.
You're going to put the world up you?
Yeah, something like that.
That sounds charming.
But anyway, listen. So,
seen the time,
but listen, this is Porky Vision.
Hey,
so
I've got the name of that guy, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you in a bit.
Yeah, we've got to talk about other shows, okay?
Yes.
Now, how many times have you watched Benidorm?
Never. Never watched it.
Yeah, I think it's great, but I never get a chance to watch
it. Hang on, it's really old, isn't it?
No, but it's 10 years old. No, it's been going for 10 years. It's been going for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was ancient. What was the Spanish soap opera that was on, like, in the 90s? Was that Benidorm?
No, that was something else.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've got my journal facts here. For a decade, TV's Benidorm has been having fun in the sun. Eccentric gang of warring families, middle-aged swingers. The cast of the ITV hit comedy will mark the milestone of 10 years... by taking us behind the scenes in a one-off special. Nobody cares about that. The thing is, Benidorm portrayed in that programme is nothing like the Benidorm I knew when I was 17.
Well, when you were 17, that was quite a long time ago, to be fair.
Yes.
I mean, and so this Benidorm presumably set in the current modern-day Benidorm.
Yeah.
So what's different?
Well, what's different is that when I was 17, Benidorm...
It's not in black and white.
No, you idiot, you fat-oafed fool. When,
look at the time, by the way, nearly all over.
Yeah, when I was 17,
When
I was 17.
This is a Frank Sinatra record again. Benidorm
was a haven for young people who wanted gratuitous sex and lots of it.
Right. Well, how's it changed?
Well, because it's all old people now, this is the point. Benidorm is now inhabited by... Like, you know, old wankers who,
they were all the people who still think it's a place to go for rampant shagging. Because the thing is, nowadays, if you're 17, you don't have to go away anywhere. In those days,
you
had to go away.
Oh, listen, man, before you got off the plane, right, got off this coach, took your hotel, dumped your bag in the room, if you could even be bothered to check in, didn't unpack anything, got down to the nearest bar, to get lassoed to get into the nearest disco, but you didn't go to the disco till 3 a.m. Then you pulled the first bird you could find. Right. Sorry, that's
straight
very sexist. First lady. No, back to the hotel.
Oh, really?
I mean, I once spent 7 minutes in a disco before I was heading back to the hotel with a lady.
And how did you manage to persuade her?
I was got a rumpy pumpy for the rest of the night.
Manage to persuade her in 7 minutes?
Well, just
she must have been a real knocker.
My charm, just my charm, you know. And that went on for 2 weeks.
Was she? How would you describe this woman?
I'd describe her as. Average.
Average?
Yeah, average.
If you're going to call somebody average, that's not good.
I mean,
good.
Listen, some were very good, some were less, and some nights when you had no success, you compromise your beliefs and your standards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you can always do that at any disco you like.
Yeah, exactly,
But,
yeah.
I mean, so the Benidorm...
And the Shagaroonie, it just went on forever.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes you wouldn't even...
What if you coincided with one of your roommates? What happened then? Who had the priority?
Well... You're absolutely right, because we used to share a room. Mm. It was cheaper to have two people in a room rather than have your own rooms in them days. And what you'd do is you'd work out a, like, you know, maybe she had a room, but then she'd have a friend who'd go back to the room and her friend was being shagged by somebody else or her friend was shagging somebody else, you know what I mean?
It was a much more innocent time, though. Yeah, I remember when my sister went to Mallorca for the first time. And Mallorca, it seemed to me, and this would have been sort of mid-70s.
So exotic.
She was about 16.
Yes.
I was about 14.
Yes.
And when she announced that she was going to Mallorca, I thought, this is unbelievable. It's like living some kind of jet set life, you know.
Yeah.
But she went with one of her friends from school.
Yeah.
And do you know where she ended up?
Yeah.
She ended up on the USS Nimitz. Right.
Oh yeah, I can imagine that.
Because the bloody aircraft carrier was in the harbour, was in Palma at the time.
Yeah.
She met these US Navy sailors.
That's right.
In a club or something.
That's
and they were like, "Do you want to come over and check out the ship?"
That's
can you imagine that happening now?
No,
there's pictures of her sitting in the fucking cockpit of an F-16 or whatever.
Right. Do you know what? In the very, very similar story in our day, we had one night one of these boat trips around the harbour.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is a very sort of large type...
big ferry?
No. It was a very large harbour, you know, and it's the harbour wall.
Yeah.
It was the USS John F. Kennedy, an aircraft carrier. Yeah. They were there all the time.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Incredible.
Yeah.
But I mean, the fact that she could get on it...
Yeah, exactly.
They spent the afternoon on this thing. They went to the bar. She was like, it was great. They had Coca-Cola machines.
Yeah. Yeah.
They played pool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know,
it was unbelievable. And can I tell you something? When the aircraft carriers were in town, or any American ship, the sailors would go out and get completely lassoed and pulling birds and all that kind of stuff, you know. Mm. But also were the shore patrols.
Mm.
And the shore patrols were deadly. These guys were dressed all in white.
Yes.
They had, like, round-type helmets on, you know what I mean?
Which said
shore patrol.
Yeah.
And they carried white baseball bats.
Yes. And they crack people's heads.
Yeah, they did. They were there to protect the reputation of the American US forces, you know what I mean?
Right.
And they did. And you often saw, I'm not joking, you saw two of them dragging some unconscious sailor out of a bar who had not responded to their instructions.
Well, funnily enough, they used to come to New York quite a lot as well because they would be...
Yes.
I can't remember what the occasion was, but certainly in the summer, some maybe for July 4th, and sometimes there would be a big aircraft carrier
That's
or
right.
something would pull into town.
Yeah.
And I remember being on, there was a bar on 23rd Street I used to drink in.
Right.
And it was me and a couple of other people, and some friends were there from out of town.
It wasn't the Brick Cafe, was it?
No, you're thinking of the Bank Cafe.
Bank Cafe,
No, that was up on, sort of, further up on 3rd Avenue.
Oh, I saw it.
This was 23rd, sort of between 2nd and 3rd.
Right.
I think it was called the 23rd Street Bar and Grill.
Right, okay.
But it was quite a good bar. And I remember going in there one night, and it was just full of sailors, right?
Right.
And of course, every woman loves a sailor. I mean, it's not just a phrase.
No.
But one of the women that was with us was particularly lefty, and started telling them they were all warmongers. mongers.
Oh, I see.
They had this conversation about, you know, well, how can you go around, you know, killing people all over the world,
carry all
man.
The missiles, man.
You know, and you can see these guys just glazing over.
That's
but
right,
they're hoping that maybe they could sort of turn her in some way and end up dragging her off into the sort of back alley.
Turn her over.
Yeah, well, indeed. Which I can't. I don't think they did in the end.
No, but
I mean, America, of course, has got much better... view generally of the armed forces. You know, when you see people in this country being told by the MOD, please don't wear your uniform.
That's right.
Because you might get killed.
Ridiculous.
Or you might get spat on or something.
Yeah.
You know, over there, not only do they get encouraged to wear their uniforms, but they actually get given discounts if they go into shops.
Yeah.
They get given free stuff because they're, you know, saving the country and fighting for their country.
Yes.
It's going to be a different attitude, isn't it?
Different attitude. But it did all change over Vietnam. So many young black men were recruited. They were, honestly, to Vietnam. That, I mean, look at Rambo, part one, OK?
Well, Rambo's a fucking fictional film.
It doesn't matter. It was based on things that actually happened.
Really?
And and John Rambo, you know, hey, Rambo! Yeah. Rambo!
Nobody wants me.
Nobody wants me! Yeah. You know, sir!
What's your favourite scene in Rambo?
In Rambo... Sir, they started it, not me. I could have killed every one of them, and I didn't. You know,
my favourite scene is when he hides in that sort of muddy cliff.
Yeah, that's
and,
right. Yeah.
And he's there, and you can't see him, and he suddenly comes out of it.
That's right.
Like some kind of, you know, creature from the Black Lagoon.
Right. Yeah, sure.
And then cuts the guy's throat.
Yeah. Well, my favourite scene. My favourite scene, without a shadow of a doubt, was when he breaks out of the jail.
Yeah.
Because he suddenly snaps, and he becomes. He actually becomes Jason Bourne for about 3 minutes. You know, elbows into faces, punching people in the solar plexus, kicking them between the legs
Bourne
and the bollocks.
Bourne is brilliant, isn't he?
Yeah, you know.
You have to say, Bourne, the fight scenes in Bourne are so good.
Yeah.
They're absolutely fantastic.
But I once spoke to a cranial surgeon, okay, about the fight scenes in Bourne.
Surprised.
Was he
seeking to find out if there's anything inside your cranium?
Fight scenes in Bourne.
Yeah.
And he said any man subjected to the sort of beating that Jason Bourne dishes out would need... surgery and hospital attention for about the next 3 years.
My old man used to
and
say
would
that.
Never ever speak properly again.
My old man used to say that because he was an amateur boxer.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah,
and
he
said, you know, there is nothing worse than the 3 minutes that you spend in a boxing
ring.
That's right. When you're getting hit.
That's right.
Because he was quite a good fighter. Yeah. He wasn't brilliant.
Yeah.
You know? But he said the crowd are baying for your blood. And you're looking at the clock, you're getting whacked.
Yeah.
Well, these are people wearing gloves.
When somebody hits you in the face once, they will generally break a bone.
Yeah,
it might be your jaw, it might
be... That's why I was quite surprised you didn't get any marks when you got mugged that time.
Exactly. Well, I was ducking and weaving.
Yeah.
The cheekbone, or they might even fracture
your
skull.
Nose.
Or nose, or something like that. The problem is that Jason Bourne gets in so many fights and doesn't even got a mark on his face.
No.
Yeah.
Well,
but
I mean,
exciting.
He must use the same technique as you.
It is exciting cinema.
Anyway, listen, we're out of time.
Okay.
This is On the Record. That was Porky Vision.
Benidorm,
it was a very good
Benidorm
year.
Was a haven for young people who wanted gratuitous sex and lots of it.
Right.
Gratuitous.
Well, how's it changed?
Well, because it's all old people now. This is the point. Benidorm is now inhabited by, like, you know, old wankers who...
To be honest... They were all the people who still think it's a place to go for rampant shagging. Because the thing is, nowadays, if you're 17, you don't have to go away anywhere. In those days,
you
had to go away.
Oh, listen, man, before you got off the plane, right, got off this coach, took your hotel, dumped your bag in the room, if you could even be bothered to check in, didn't unpack anything, got down to the nearest bar...
Right.
To get lassoed to get into the nearest disco, but you didn't go to the disco till 3 a.m. Then you pulled the first bird you could find.
Right.
Sorry, that's
straight
very sexist.
To the beach.
First lady. No, back to the hotel.
Oh, really?
I mean, I once spent 7 minutes in a disco before I was heading back to the hotel with a lady.
And how did you manage to persuade her?
I was going to rumpy pumpy for the rest of the night.
Manage to persuade her in 7 minutes?
Well, just
she must have been a real knocker.
My charm. Just my charm, you know. And that went on for 2 weeks.
Was she how would you describe this woman?
I'd describe her as... Average.
Average?
Yeah, average.
If you're going to call somebody average, that's not good.
I mean,
good.
Listen, some were very good, some were less, and some nights when you had no success, you compromise your beliefs and your standards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sir, they started it, not me. I could have killed every one of them, and I didn't, you know. I'd prefer to see some of these Russian oligarchs having sex with three women at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's good enough for Versailles.
Yeah, in a penthouse.
I mean, this is more likely to have been the case, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
McMafia.
Yeah, yeah, I mean,
you know,
so,
it's
all
about sex and drugs and rock and roll.
Well, it should be.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Did you know that if you are 20 years old now, there's a chance your great-grandparents might have met thanks to computer dating?
Did you know that under their main tongue, lemurs have another tongue?
I did know that because you and I, Andy, and I'm James, are hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish, a British podcast all about facts.
That's right. We have two other co-hosts, Dan and Anna. Every week, we tell you a selection of the most amazing, hilarious, bizarre, wonderful information that you've never heard before. It happens every week, and it's called No Such Thing as a Fish.
Find it wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, what's all this about computer dating?